Okay, welcome in, everybody. We are back on Paranormal Watchtower. Myself, Brandon, along with Ray. We are doing something a little different this evening. We are not prepared. Well, we're prepared. We're each prepared, but we don't know what the other one came up with. So we've got a few things that we're going to throw at each other and see where this goes. Thanks for joining us for the ride. This might get interesting.
What's up, everybody? How's your week been, man?
My week's been good.
That's good.
Been pretty good. I've been working my ass off. Oh, speaking of which, shout out Kramer's Moving Service. So if you're in Wisconsin, give us a call, 858-6564. 920-858-6564.
We make moving easy for you.
Well, we're the local movers. We're the local guys, not the nationwide.
I'll send you a bill for that tagline.
You do that. And it wasn't that great. I don't think it was very original, but you know, we'll come up with something. I'll send you a gift card.
All right, I'll take it. Prior to Casey's for Port Fritter.
No, it's a gift card to Kramer's Moving Service.
Oh, you're gonna drive all the way to Nebraska to move me? That's cool.
Well, yeah, it's just a gift card for, you know, 50 bucks off.
Oh well.
You know, I can't give you too much. You're going to donate it?
Yeah, I'll just donate the slogan for you.
Right. So Ray and I came up with an idea that those of you who are kind enough to watch us here on YouTube Premiere, that if you're in the chat, we need you to share it out to your friends. And when they come in, they need to tell us who sent them in or who brought them in. And we will take those names, put them on a list, and pick one to get a free gift.
Bah, bah, bah.
So, share it out. Tell them to let us know who shared it to them. Bring them in, and we'll write your name down. And you could possibly win something cool.
Possibly. No purchase necessary.
No purchase necessary. Stay tuned for the fine print.
So, you ready for tonight?
I am ready. I am all set. I do have a couple things, and I got, you know, what we talked about was we were going to put some things together, not tell each other what we were doing. And I think I did it, and actually called Ray about an hour ago. And he said, well, I got something, but we kind of already talked about it. At the time, I had no idea what he was talking about, but now I think I do. Now I think I remember what it was. But do you want to start off with that, or do you want me to go first?
I mean, you can go first.
All right.
You're doing a good job talking, so just keep it going.
I feel like I talk a lot, maybe too much.
I mean, somebody's got to fill the time.
Yeah. All right. Well, I've got a few interesting things that I came across dealing with paranormal, dealing with old times and old-fashioned ways that carried on through time and even put in practice today.
Interesting.
Starting back, and what I'm about to get into started back in the 1500s and continued on through the 1800s. And like I said, some of it's even going on today. This doesn't really have to do with paranormal, but there are a few tidbits that I gotta throw in because I'm like, do you ever wonder where some of the phrases from today came from?
Sometimes.
Well, okay. Let me explain. When I came across, and this one I actually found on TikTok, this part. Back in the 1500s, when people were really poor, they would actually, their whole family would urinate in a big pot. And they would sell that urine to the local tannery for the process of tanning hides. And that's where the term, well, that's not, that's, that's where the term piss poor came from, because they were poor and that's how they made their money.
That makes sense.
And if you take that a step further, people who couldn't afford to buy a pot means they didn't have a pot to piss in. I'm like, I've been hearing that phrase my whole life and never knew where it came from.
I'd never even thought about that one.
Yeah. Yeah. So I found that fascinating. There's a couple more of those in here, but oh, here's one. Did you know that back then people very rarely took baths, usually once a year? I don't know if it was because of the, yes. And it was once a year. And it was usually, they would usually shower or bath, bath in May. And the reason that they would bath in May was because most people got married in June. And they wanted to be somewhat still fresh for the wedding. Even if a month after bathing is still fresh to some people. I've met a few of those at Walmart.
You keep those.
Yeah, yeah. Well, when the people got married in June, the brides still, I mean, they were fresh by their standards, but it's still been a month since they bathed. So what they would do is they would carry flowers to mask the scent of their body, which is why brides carry a bouquet of flowers still today.
You hear that, ladies? It's because you're stinky. Like, they used flowers to cover up a lot of stuff back then, apparently.
And yeah, they did.
I doubt it worked too well, to be honest.
No. But you had to keep in mind, you know, they knew what they were getting into, you know.
I mean, smells bad, I guess nobody smells bad.
Right.
Now, I will say, like, the Muslims of that time, they believed in taking baths. That was just straight up a European thing.
They even had a bathing order, like a pecking order. And it was the man of the house, then like the father, and then it would be his sons and any other men in the family, like the husbands of the wives or whatever. So it would be the man, his sons, and then other men, then the women, and then finally the kids and babies. And if
they got
water. They definitely got dirty water. If you're talking, you have a whole family who hasn't bathed in a year and you get one bathtub full of hot water. By the time it gets to the babies, they say that you could lose somebody in the water, which brings up. Hang on. What is
I might have this one. Don't throw the baby out with the dirty water.
That's right. Don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. Now, I've only heard that once or twice, and I can't even remember when it was used, but I do remember it being a saying, and now we all learned where it came from. Maybe somebody already knew.
I might have heard that in a movie or something. I don't know if I've ever heard it out in real life.
And I'm filling in time right now, but I'm building up for a really good one.
You're building it up. All right.
I'm building it up. Back in those days. That's right. Back in those days, the floors were dirt. Only the wealthy had any kind of floor covering. That's where they coined a phrase dirt poor came from.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Let's see. Oh, and I don't know. This one may or may not be true. This one might be a story. But apparently they all cooked in a big kettle over a fire, okay? And every day they lit the fire and they added new ingredients to the pot, mostly vegetables, but leaving their leftovers remaining in the pot overnight to cool, and then starting the whole process over the next day with the leftover food from the previous day or possible days before that. And that's where apparently the phrase peas porridge hot, peas porridge cold, peas porridge in a pot 9 days old, where that came from.
I've never heard that before.
You've never heard the peas porridge hot one?
No, where did that come from? Like, did your
I've heard nanny
sing that to you? What is it?
Nah, it's just something. Well, I mean, I went to Catholic school. I don't know if that makes a difference.
It must. I don't know it. Say it again.
Peas porridge hot. Peas porridge cold. Peas porridge in a pot 9 days old.
That's disgusting.
Yeah.
No wonder that people were so sick back in them days.
Let's see if anybody listening, do you guys know that term, that phrase?
Have you all heard it before?
If you do, let us know.
type it down.
Oh, and don't forget to hit them little hearts next to your chat. Little hearts and little laughy emojis. And it's just like the likes on TikTok. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
Tap, tap.
Tap, tap, tap. Just go home. Are you too good for your home?
Just go to your home, man.
All right, so here we go. Now, one more before the good one. They would occasionally get pork for their, you know, porridge pots, okay? And when they did, they would invite guests over to show off. They would hang the pork. They call it bacon. They would hang their bacon up. So when the guests come over, they could see that the man could actually bring home the bacon, which is where that term came from. They showed it off it was a flex is what it was. Hey, we've got bacon.
Like, come look at my bacon.
Right. And then they even went into detail and say that they would cut off the fat for the guests because apparently that was the best part.
I mean, I agree with that.
They would sit there and hand out just chunks of the fat, and then they would like just conversate and brag about their bacon fat.
Those have had to have been some weird conversations, man.
Right? Bringing home the bacon.
Like, oh yeah, you should have seen the bacon I brought home last month.
Well, yeah, it was this big. All right, here we go.
All right, let's.
Back then, rich people used to eat off pewter plates made of pewter. And then when they ate high acidity foods, the lead from the plates would soak into the food, most notably tomatoes. So for hundreds of years, tomatoes were looked at as, they were sought as poisonous. Like, people thought tomatoes were poisonous because people kept getting, what it was is they were getting sick, but they didn't know it was lead poisoning.
Right. That makes sense.
And then they would have, and at the same time, apparently, when they would serve bread, there was a hierarchy for the bread as well. So, like, the peasants would get the bottom burnt part of the bread, and then the family would get the middle, and then the guests would get the top or the crusted part. And they would drink out of lead cups with whiskey. They would drink whiskey out of the cups. And sometimes I don't know what the combination is, if it's the lead and the bread, or the whiskey and the lead, but it would knock people out for days. Like, they would knock out, just pass out for days.
Just like, say, that'd make a great country song, the whiskey and the lead.
We could write one.
We could definitely write one.
Yep.
Just need somebody to play guitar for us.
We can just try to trademark it like we did our movie.
I mean,
was that a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, it probably works the same way.
Yeah, probably doesn't do anything.
Trademarked, y'all. Don't try it.
So these people would pass out, and then walkers by would see these people and think they were dead. So they would start to get them ready for burial, and they would take them home to the family's home. They would put them on the kitchen table, and then the family would come over, and they would eat, and they would drink, and they would wait for this person to wake up. And that's what started
the whole wake
ceremony from.
And then Cousin Bubba wakes up and scares the shit out of you. Like, I just been drunk for 3 days, y'all.
Right? Right. Well, and then you've got, let me see. I mean, I can keep going unless you want to jump in. I only have a couple more. This one is the one I was talking about. Now, this is the one that got me in on the subject. Let's see. In England, the towns they had were kind of small. And what they would do is when people would die, they would recycle their graves. Did you hear anything about? Yes, they would recycle the graves. So I don't know how long they had to be, but they would dig up the coffins, open them up. They would take the bones out. They dig up the coffins, take the bodies out, whatever's left, the bones. And they would take the bones to what they called a bone house. I don't know if it was just like a shed that they stored bones in, or what. But then they would reuse the coffin and the grave hole for a new person.
I think we just figured out why England is so haunted.
And very possibly.
You can't be doing that.
And then, and according to a statistic that I read, one out of 25 would have scratch marks on the inside of the coffins.
That's horrifying, isn't it?
And that's what led, and then that's when led to them believing that finally, hey, we were burying people alive. So they had to come up with something. So that's when they started doing the, what do they call them? The safety coffins. Do you know about those?
Yeah, with the bells on them.
That's right. They would tie a string. Those of you who don't know what a safety coffin is, it was a process developed. I think it wasn't developed. I don't think until the 1800s. I actually might be able to dig that up here quick. I want to say like 1872 or something like that. But they would tie a string to the body's wrist and then run that up through the ground to a bell on a pole. And it was said that if they were to wake up or come out of their death state, that the bell would ring and there would be someone there all night watching and listening for the bell. In case you're wondering why it was called the graveyard shift.
Oh, yeah. That's I kind of thought that's where we were going with that one.
That's why we call it the graveyard shift, even today.
Man, you know how scary that would be? You'd be just chilling, all of a sudden a bell start ringing right behind you.
That would be freaky. I mean,
because now you got to figure out how to get the person out of the ground.
Well, yeah, some of them had many designs of this safety coffin. They even had some that you could breathe through. Some of them you didn't. They had so many amenities you could serve food through it. One guy was buried with a glass cover over his face, and he wasn't buried, but his coffin had a glass portion over his face, kind of like a Fisk coffin. And he told his family to come and check on him every once in a while to look to see if there was breath on the inside of the glass to see if he was still alive.
I remember reading a story about a young girl, I think, that's buried in a coffin like that. Like, to this day, you can still go there.
Yeah, well,
like somebody on TikTok went there.
I'm pretty sure it was somebody correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that those are the Fisk coffins.
I'll just agree with you, because I don't know. But it's a coffin,
then I'll just say, yeah.
Coffin and not a casket.
Right, coffins. Back in those days, that's all they had was coffins. They didn't invent the they didn't invent the casket yet. So, the ringing of the bell brought on two additional phrases. One, if they were saved, they were considered saved by the bell. But you probably knew that already, right?
I did not know that.
What was with that? Did
Man,
you just
I
do that?
Know. No, that was you. You gave the thumbs up. It's something.
No, I gave the thumbs up, but only because there was a thumbs up symbol around my screen.
I don't know how to trip them off. Like, I've had thumbs up come up. I've had balloons come up. I don't know really what caused it, and I don't know how to turn it off.
So you got saved by the bell, and if they weren't, they were called a dead ringer.
Ooh. So saved by the bell didn't come about from a 1990s television show.
No, it did not.
Dang. I thought I had that one figured out.
It was a decent show at the time, though. I know I watched it.
Oh, I definitely watched it. Kelly.
Oh, you like Kelly? Was Kelly the tall one or the short brunette one?
Look, I don't know. She's the cute one.
Oh, I don't know. I don't remember details.
All right, you ready for mine?
Yeah, I'm ready for yours. Let's see what you got.
All right. Now, I know I talked to you about this the other day on my live, but I just wanted to reiterate. Because it blew my mind. Like, I was pondering ghosts and spirits after watching the TV show, The Comedy Ghosts. And she made a good point on there. Like, they can walk through walls, but they don't fall through the floor.
Hmm.
They can walk up the stairs, but, like, what? Why aren't they
why
just
wouldn't
falling
they
off the planet? Yeah.
Like, why wouldn't they float through the stairs?
To me, shouldn't Earth just leave them behind as Earth is going through space
as we're rotating. And what did I say? I said spirits must have some sort of mass, some sort of.
They'd have to have mass for gravity to interact with them.
Right.
But then
right.
You wouldn't think they could go through a wall.
Which is also correct.
Like, I was blowing my mind. I don't know if it's blown everybody else's mind, but.
Right. Like, and I mentioned about a ghost can walk through a wall, but it can't step over a row of salt in your doorway.
Right. You know, oh God, yeah. It's salt. I'm stuck.
I'm stuck. Oh, you know, sounds like a cartoon.
On the show, what brought that up is there's like a hippie chick that's a ghost on there. And she's like, how can I sit on this couch, but I can walk through walls? And then she's like, if they put the same material from the couch on the wall, would I be able to walk through that? I was like, Jesus. I mean, that's a good
question.
That's
a damn good question. That's a right? damn good
they
question.
They didn't experiment, so I don't know what happened. But, like, I mean, that doesn't help the claim of ghosts at all, thinking about it that deeply.
No, it doesn't.
So I don't. What do you guys think in the comments? Go ahead. And I know you guys are going to have opinions, so
yeah,
hit us with
it. Yeah, we'll see if they put anything.
Oh, I know at least one person will.
Does her name start with a J?
Yep.
Or.
And it'll have a question in the form of a statement.
That sounds about right.
You ready for this?
Yeah.
Only old buildings are haunted.
You know, I did a video on that, right?
I do. Like, that drives me insane when I hear, ooh, look at that building. It's so old. It's got to be haunted.
It's got to be haunted. Well, chances. Okay. And I don't know what your thoughts are on this, but I definitely have an opinion on it. To me, there's very few places on this earth that are not haunted. Now, being an old house has nothing to do with whether it's haunted or not, other than it has more owners. So the chances of the original owners or whoever built the house or whoever lived in the house, one of the tenants might be a spirit that can't let go. So that's the only thing that an older house benefits as far as being haunted. Now, the most haunted house. Now, you're talking to a guy right now who basically his specialty is private home investigations. That's what I've done most of the whole time. And I've investigated houses that are nearly brand new. And come to find out, and nobody's died there. And they're extremely active. Right now, I'm thinking about a house in Menasha that was built in 1986. And no one had died there. The husband did die in a airplane crash, but it was not on site. He died in an airplane. But that place, it was about a block to a block and a half away from a cemetery. I don't know if that played into effect, but that was super active. And it was active day or night. Didn't matter.
My thoughts on it, if ghosts are dead people, like, yeah, I would have to agree that every place would have to be haunted. Just from the sheer number of people that have died all over the world.
Well, I see where you're going with this, because there's approximately 100 billion people that were ever born. And I just learned that today on TikTok.
So I didn't know.
Apparently 100 billion people approximately have been born. And there's only, 8 billion of us left?
Yeah, like 700.
So that would mean we have the potential of having 9 billion ghosts on Earth, right?
I mean, I would think.
So. Or 900. 900.
900.
No, 90.
993 billion. I don't know.
No.
Math's hard, y'all.
100 billion to 8 billion is only 92 billion. So we got a possibility of 92 billion. Now, obviously, I think the chances of that are very slim. Unless you believe there is no heaven, there is no hell, there is no such thing as And you have to believe there's an afterlife, but you have to believe that there's no heaven and there's no hell. In that case, they're all stuck on Earth as their own purgatory, so to speak, which would mean that none of them moved on afterwards or were reincarnated. And I find that hard to believe because I think there are a lot of choices once we pass on, and reincarnation being one of those choices that we need to make. But we don't know till we get there.
No way to know till you get there.
So, is there any more to that?
That one? No.
No?
You want another one?
All right. Sure, go or for
you
it.
You got something.
Well, I got something, but it's a little... It's something that I would rather have a guest on to talk about, but...
Am I not good enough?
No, you're plenty good enough. It's just I would like to have an expert come in and talk with us about it. We might have to do a whole podcast on something like this. Yeah, it has to do with...
I'm what? An expert.
Oh, you're an expert on demons?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Sure, why not?
Why not?
Okay. All right. Well, here's my question that I pose to you. Incubus versus succubus.
What about it?
And those of you who don't know what they are the male and female versions of sex demons that attack you, usually while you're sleeping. Now, it is said that there is a physical act involved in the attack, okay? And I say attack because there's no way that I know of that you can invite or conjure them in voluntarily for such a situation. Now, that being said, the incubus is the male version, the succubus is the female version. It was funnier than hell watching Zach Bagans try to figure that out when he got it wrong, but that was hilarious. I don't know if you ever saw that episode.
No, I need to watch it though.
Yeah. But I did a search trying to figure out if demons had a gender or even genitalia. What do you think?
I don't think in their normal form they would, but I think they can present themselves to us kind of however they want.
So you're saying that they can morph into male or female depending on their target?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, which makes sense. I get where you would say that. Now, I did do a little digging on this, and there are there was fights in the chats. There were literal fights, like just not
what are people
well, verbal
about.
People are dead set on they do not have genitalia, and then there's other ones that say they definitely have genitalia. Definitely. And it's a weird subject to even talk about, but it's something weird that popped into my head because they talk about, somebody mentioned the Bible a couple times. They mentioned Genesis 6. Now, do you know what Genesis 6 is?
That deals with the Nephilim, right?
Yes. And it said something about, they were arguing because if angels are said to not have, they're not atomically correct or anatomically correct, whatever the word is.
Right.
Then why would demons be?
I think they're spiritual and they just manipulate the physical world and show us what they want to show us.
Well, and it says that apparently, and I don't know this for a fact, but I figure you would know more than I would. Apparently somewhere in Genesis 6, Jesus claims that angels can't reproduce.
Right. He talks about there's none of that in heaven, yeah.
Okay. So, and people are claiming that as their facts. That's their facts to say that, you know, that it couldn't happen.
Right.
Now, my question here, and I mean, I don't know how creepy you want me to get on this, but my brain, when my brain starts going with that type of thing, it doesn't stop. It just keeps going down that twisted ass creepy path. So now, if if they can reproduce, well, I should say if they have that equipment, they should be able to reproduce. If there are such things as females, then they should be able to reproduce, right?
I mean, logically, yes.
So if a female can reproduce, they have to have a cycle. Can you imagine a demon with PMS?
I mean, but I'll probably get called a chauvinist for this, but in the Bible, it doesn't say the daughters of God. It just says the sons of God. I can't think of one instance of a feminine angel in scripture.
So you're saying all the angels themselves were male?
I don't know if I'd say male, but masculine.
Masculine.
Yeah, I don't know if they really had a gender per se until they decided. Like, to me, the incubus and succubus could be the same demon that just presents itself as a male or a female, determined by what it's trying to do with who.
Okay. I can see that. But why give it a different name? Incubus versus succubus.
I mean, that's a human thing.
You think that was created by man?
Yeah, I'm sure its name is not incubus or succubus.
No, it's not a name. That's just like...
That's what I'm saying. If you could find the name of it, then you'd probably... But there's just not a lot written about
now,
demonic stuff and angel stuff.
Well, you know a lot more Bible stuff than I do, okay? Does it not refer to Lucifer in the Bible as he?
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. All the angels are referred to as masculine entities, he's.
So if, I guess what I'm trying to get at is, why didn't they call it versus he or she? If it didn't have that capability.
That don't mean nothing, though. Like, you got to remember, in the biblical terms, that was, that whole gender thing is for reproduction. You know, for man and woman. That's the whole point of it, according to the Bible, is just to reproduce. I don't think the angels really needed to reproduce because he created a ton of them, if you read scripture. A million, maybe a billion, I don't know.
So you're saying the angels far outnumber the demons?
I mean, I would think so.
Hmm.
But you got to remember, I don't think demons are fallen angels. I think you got angels, the good angels, the bad angels, and you got demons.
Good angels, bad angels, and demons.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. So I'm assuming you're talking about Lucifer being the head bad angel.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably not the right word to use, bad and good. The fallen angels. I mean, Lucifer has a role even in modern times. He was the accuser.
Is the bringer accuser, of light.
The morning star.
Which is so weird to me. When, you know, you're talking about paranormal, you always say, go to the light, go to the light, go to the light. You always hear people say that. But then Lucifer was supposed to be the bringer of light.
Go to the light, Carolyn.
So what are you really telling them? I mean,
right.
Think about that for a minute.
I don't know where the whole light thing comes from. Honestly, we should look that up sometime, or JC should. Like, does that just come from near-death experiences? I can't think of anything in scripture that deals with the light other than, like, the burning bush. And
well, it says that God was made of pure light, right?
I mean, it can be.
I don't know. I know just enough about religion to be dangerous.
I see that. I think it's an interesting thought, though. I mean, I've thought it myself, because the Nephilim scripture is very vague. It's the sons of God came into the daughters of men and created the Nephilim. That doesn't really tell you anything, honestly. I would think the sons of God would be angels, just because it refers to them as that later in the Bible. But the daughters of man, I mean, is that just Adam's line? Is that all of the daughters of men? Is it Cain's line? Those are unanswered questions to me.
If demons can mate, why wouldn't they mate with other demons to make more demons?
I mean, that's an excellent point. How do we know they're not?
Is there baby demons? And can they possess us just like regular demons?
That would be so terrifying. I mean, that's honestly why I don't trust the child spirit, as you call it, in the paranormal field. Like, maybe they got baby demons. I've never gotten a
demons. I'm trying to do a baby shark song, but it ain't working.
I'll play you some music. It's an interesting line of questions, honestly. Like, I don't think they breed, honestly.
But
I think they're at a certain number, and that's where the number stays.
But I mean, I've done investigations where I've heard, like, in my mind, it is definitely ghosts getting it on. Like, I hear through EVP those noises sometimes. I mean, not often.
They know how your mind works.
But I hear it. I hear them like grunting and screaming, and I've heard that in the past. And I'm like, sounds like they're getting it on. That's I'm what it sounds that, like.
Maybe the spirit box lets you hear what you want to hear.
I can't deny
anything like that.
Well, you know, I got a couple. I don't know how to say this without being rude, but I've done a lot more.
That's not rude at all. That's just truth.
I've done a lot more investigations, but that's the thing that it's so different.
On TikTok, I would ask you just to do a portal box session asking these questions. I don't know how TikTok's community guidelines would like that.
I think we're gonna all be drifting away from TikTok. I think
find us on YouTube.
Yeah, I mean YouTube, Clapper, Instagram. We're all over podcasts on Spotify and iHeartRadio.
Heck yeah! And this is just my personal thoughts here, but I really do think the demonic forces, the evil forces, kind of attack you and your weaknesses. Not you personally, but in general.
Well,
they find the person's weakness, and that's what they go for.
Yep, absolutely. I agree with you that they're gonna use your weakness against you, which is why when we talked about exorcism the other day, and we talked about how I told you I looked into being an exorcist, and they basically tell you that you have to cut all ties with family and friends completely, because the demonic will use your loved ones as weapons against you. So you have to cut all ties so that they can't do that, so that you are focused and they don't have that weapon against you. They can only battle your faith.
I'm about to say something probably extremely unpopular.
Oh, please.
And to our first guest, if I'm wrong, I'm sorry. But
wait for it.
I don't know if I want to say it now.
Oh, you got to say it. You can always choose to cut it out later.
Like, I don't want to deal with demons. I've said that a million times. Demons terrify me. I don't want to deal with them. But I don't think they're nearly as capable as they get credit for. Like, I think they can screw with me if they're attacking me. But I don't see them having the ability to attack my family line just because. And I could be wrong about that. Okay with being wrong about that.
And I don't wholeheartedly disagree with you. I believe that they can attack the weak much easier than they can someone who's very strong-willed.
Right.
I think
precise and not just chaotic.
Right. They're definitely targeting something. They're targeting the, you know, just like flowing water. They take the path of least resistance.
Makes sense. I mean, I can see like why you would think, oh, well, you know, if they attack my wife, that's going to get to me. But just because of my faith, I don't think that is really has anything to do with their goal. Like, they don't want to just make me sad. They, in my mind, they want me to call God a liar. So I think they want to attack those kind of things.
They want you to turn against God. That's what they want. They want you to turn against God, and they want to be you and wreak evil on this earth. That's what they want.
I just think they don't want to get thrown into the pit.
You think they're hiding?
No, they're just trying everything they can to make God a liar. Because if you can make God a liar, then the rest of prophecy falls flat.
Uh-huh. Like,
God is, I don't want to get too technical, but in scripture, it tells us that this world we live in, there's a king here, and it's not Jesus, Yeshua, Christ, whatever you want to call him, or God. He says he gave this world to Satan. Satan is who controls this thing. So I don't think they hide at all, and I don't think they are as chaotic as it seems. I think they're very precise in what they're trying to do. More than likely, they don't give a hoot about atheists, sad to say. Take that the wrong way, y'all. But I don't see what the point of, if they're trying to make God a liar, why would they mess with an atheist? I mean, that mission accomplished already, right?
Right, yeah. They're already, yeah. Yeah, I don't think they would mess with an atheist. And I don't say that because atheists are tough. I say that because they already
don't believe.
They already don't believe, so... Yeah, like you said.
It's a waste of time to me.
Right.
If I was a demon, I'm not saying I'm a demon.
But I also believe that sickness and illness comes into play as well. Like,
oh, definitely.
You know, and I'm not picking fun at these people, and I feel very sad for these people, but, you know, drug addicts, you know. And here's the thing that gets me. All these people that they've got in these, what they call insane asylums and stuff. How many of them do you think are actually insane versus they actually had something evil talking to them or had those crazy
than we wanted to admit
crazy experiences that were actually real? Like they actually see what they say they saw. That, like, even if it's 1%, even if it's 1% of all the crazy stories that you've heard, that is insane. That is just mind-blowing.
Right. And what you're saying, I mean, it has, if you're a believer in scripture like I am, like, that's most of the possessions you read about in there are illnesses. You know, it's not people's heads spinning around and throwing up pea soup. It's, you know, leprosy. I think one guy was paralyzed, deafness. I mean, it seems like demons cause physical ailments more than anything.
Okay, for a while there, I didn't know if you were saying that it wasn't demonic and it was just them being insane or...
No,
or,
not at all.
I mean, because I'm sure there's some of that as well, you know.
Right.
I'm not going to rule that out.
There's definitely people that just have issues. I mean, there's no doubt about that. A lot of people. But, you know, there's people out there, I shouldn't say you know. In my opinion, I'm like you, even if 1% of all the people with mental illnesses or something are just being oppressed by demonic forces, that's a lot of people. And I know I get a lot of crap on my TikTok lives because I'm one of the people that believe there's a lot of demons. I don't think they're as rare. I just don't think they interact with us like we want to believe.
So, and you've probably heard me say about the roughly 300 verified cases a year of demonic activity and demonic possession. And it's been probably 2 years since I've actually had any kind of documentation on that. So that may have changed, but it just seems like the ratio between demonic claims versus actual demonic cases are so different. With 8 billion people on the planet and 300 verified, and I realize what the word verified means, but 300, only 300 verified cases. I mean, what if you divide that out, what is that? Like 27 million or something like that? 1 in 27 million? I don't know.
It's a low number.
I'm shooting numbers in the dark here, but even if I'm right, let's just say 1 in 27 million. You have a better chance of getting struck by lightning. You got a better chance of dying in an airplane. You've got a better chance of becoming president of the United States than you do being possessed by a demon.
Let me say some more unpopular opinion here. I absolutely hate what exorcisms turned into.
As far as what?
The whole, what do you want to call it?
Oh, you mean how it's been?
The tradition of it or the process of it. Like, you know, and there's another thing that people may not realize. There's actual instances in the Bible where a person could not exorcise a demon, and it's only temporary. It's only temporary. Because what does, you know, the scripture says, you can boot a demon out, and he just goes and gets some friends and comes back. Like, people ignore a lot of that stuff when they say, well, I'm of the faith, I can exorcise, blah, blah. It's like, what are you doing to make sure it don't come back?
That's a great point. And I always used to say, now, and I don't talk about it often, and it came up in your live the other day on TikTok, that somebody asked, what's your scariest experience?
Yep.
And I said, I don't talk about my first one. I don't talk about my most scariest one.
And it's because serious. He's never even told me about it.
I don't talk about it. I don't think this is the place to talk about it either, but I will give you a hint. It has to do with demonic activity, and I was not possessed. I will say that I don't claim to ever been possessed, but let's just say I was tormented, manipulated, and touched, not in a bad way, not in a creepy way, but
it wasn't the bad touch.
By the evil. No, it wasn't a bad touch. But
I do believe in stages of demonic activity.
My point is that even after he left, I can still feel him. I can still feel his presence.
I bet you just kind of have this feeling of waiting on it to return.
Yeah, it's like I'm very careful with my words when I talk about it, because you never know, because there's always that little thread tying, that little bond that was created, whether you wanted it to be there or not. Once it's visited you like that, there's that bond there between the two of you that can always bring him back. And that, to me, scares me to death.
You know what I'm waiting on with anticipation?
What's that?
For all the demon experts to correct me.
Well, you know,
yeah, I said it.
Okay, well, when you say demon expert, is that like saying professional ghost hunter?
Whoever claims to be an expert on demons that really has no clue.
Well, actually, you can be an expert in demonology.
Oh, I believe that. I'm just, you know what I mean.
Yeah, I get. I know what you're saying.
Demonologists on TikTok.
No,
probably never even read an ounce of scripture.
But I do have some ideas for some that we could bring into the podcast. And
yeah, Chad, you mentioned that, I'm excited about. I do like that guy.
Yeah. Okay. So there's a guy that Ray and I talked about an hour before we came on here, and I mentioned his name. I won't say it name now because I don't want to get anybody's hopes up, and I don't want him to know. I don't want to say his name and then him say, well, now I got to go because you mentioned me. But anyway, he's not really that. He doesn't have big numbers, you know, but this guy really impresses me. And by what he says and how he says it and his passion about it, just really, they really stick with you. And those of you in the chat, you might know who I'm talking about, but he's a very underrated person, I think. I think he deserves more credit than he gets. But that being said, we'll contact him, or I'll contact him.
See what happens.
And see if we can get him on the podcast. Seriously, I think that would be...
Go ahead.
No, I think that would be pretty intense. I think everybody would enjoy that.
Even though I'm very entrenched in my beliefs, I love to learn. Like, I'm hard-headed. I'm not that hard-headed enough where I think I know everything and I don't think I could learn anything new. And I just love to hear different people's opinions. What I meant when I said earlier is what rubs me wrong is when, you know, Joe Blow down the street, who's never even come close to a demon, is trying to tell me, well, you know, I read these books, so it makes me an expert. It's like, you know, if you ain't dealt with the demon, you don't know demons. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, I cringe every time I watch these paranormal people running around. It's a demon. It's a demon. Or worse, when they say, oh, I've dealt with demons. I'm not scared of them. They kiss my ass, blah, 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 blah. That tells me right then and there that you're full of shit. You've never dealt with a demonic entity ever. Because if you did, you would not be talking like that. You would not. I don't care how tough you think you are, that you just don't.
Hearing spirits on the spirit portal, none of that makes me believe in the spirit world like dealing with a demon when I was younger. Like, that really cemented my faith that, yeah, there is some shit out there, and they are powerful.
I have no doubt.
Do not care about our little things.
No.
Throw salt at them all you want. See what happens.
Power of Christ compels you. I mean, I still think there is something to that. Oh, but it is funny that, you know, they characterize it in movies.
This will be another unpopular opinion, but to me, an exorcism is simply just telling it to go. And I know that pisses you off. I see it in your face.
It tells it, no.
Tell them to go.
That's what it is. You're
exactly
right. If you're
doing the stupid shit that got it in your life in the first place, he ain't going nowhere. That's just how that is.
Well, that's just like getting done with your investigation and saying, you're not allowed to follow me home.
You
now
cannot touch
to my
devices.
You stay there. You're not allowed. Like, the spirit's going to be like, guys, I guess we're not allowed to go. We got to stay here. Especially if something's evil. You think it's going to be like, oh, sorry, I didn't mean to offend you. I guess I'll stay here. No.
You want to hear a story?
I would love to hear a story.
I think in my time of investigating, which ain't very long, I think I've only had one encounter with something demonic. And let me tell you this story. It's a rainy night. We're at the courthouse. You remember how active that place was. And like it was me and Saber that night. And we both kind of off camera were chatting. And like, it just felt different that night. Like, it was kind of scary in a weird way. Like, you're watching a horror movie, but we've been there a million times. But that night felt so much different. It's snowing cold. It was probably one of the coldest February nights in the time I've been in Nebraska. I think we hit like negative 40 that night.
Mm-hmm.
But we get done investigating. We're kind of a little creeped out. I come home. At the time, we just bought the house. So my wife wasn't here. My son wasn't here. My daughter was staying in the basement. I'd just gotten done remodeled while I was working upstairs. And I'm sitting at the back table, just got done investigating. And I hear my door or my driveway chime go off. And you're talking, this is like midnight to 1 o'clock in the morning. It, ding, ding, dong. You sometimes hear it in my life. And I'm like, all right. So I get up, I look out the window, nothing's out there. I sit back down. The thing goes off again. And I'm like, probably just the cold, right? You know, it's probably something with the batteries. And then something slapped my back door glass. Like, it was so loud and forceful on the back door glass. I went and got my gun out of my room.
Oh. And
I thought somebody was trying to break in. So I grab my gun. I go downstairs to where my daughter's at. And she comes flying out towards me. And she's like, was that you? I'm like, that wasn't you banging on it on the window? And she's like, no, I thought maybe you did that. So she heard it too. And I'm like, well, come upstairs with me. Let's make sure there ain't somebody trying to break in. And we get back upstairs and the driveway dinger just starts going off repeatedly, like ding, ding, just kept doing it. And I looked at Michaela, my daughter, and I'm like, do you want to go back to the other house? She's like, yeah, we both left. Never have had an experience like that since or before. I don't know if it was just the cold. I cannot explain what my dog is barking in the background. I cannot explain what slapped the back door. And I was at the table. You've been in my house, the dining room table. Yeah. I was sitting in the chair that the back's to the back door.
That's not far from the back door, though.
No, a couple feet. And I mean, it was like somebody took their hand and just boom, right on the glass. I have no idea what caused that to this day. I can explain the driveway dinger going off, cold weather.
In the beginning, you mentioned about the courthouse. Is that the same feeling that you had at home?
Yeah, it never left me. Like, the investigation started off normal. We have to get Saber on here sometime, talk about that night. It started off normal, and then we started getting weird things on. I think we were using Necrophonic that night, and we were up in the courtroom. And we started getting things that we hadn't heard before. And just the feeling in the room, man, like it felt evil. I was a little terrified. I did not know what was going on. It was my first experience with something like that. I don't know. You know, maybe a ghost was just like, hey, watch, I'm going to screw with Ray.
Maybe.
But
you know,
I did say you can't follow me home, and that thing did not listen.
No.
Just want y'all to know.
I do believe that there are, and I mean, we can cuss on podcasts, right?
You can do what you want.
I do believe that there are such things as asshole ghosts versus demonic, and there's a huge difference between the two. You know, one was human, one's not. I definitely think most people, what they run into is an asshole ghost and not demonic. It is someone, they might portray themselves as one to scare you, but I think that's all it is.
Fuck.
Yeah. And I'm not saying that's what happened in your case. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying
the weirdest experience in my whole paranormal career. That was the weirdest. And the fact that it's just me and my daughter, and she was freaked out, and she's a bigger skeptic than I am on stuff. Like, it was that loud of a bang on the back of the door. And it's all glass. Like, I turned immediately around. The porch light was on back there. There was nobody around.
I'm going to tell you something, and it might shock you, and it might shock the paranormal field entirely, and it might shock everybody that knows me. But here it is. You ready?
Hit me with it.
Being a paranormal investigator made me start believing in God again.
I didn't know that. That's interesting.
It did. It did. Because of certain experiences that I've came across and witnessed and everything. So basically, because I didn't believe for many years. And the reason I didn't believe was because I went to Catholic school. I told you that already. When I was 11 years old, the priest, his name was Father Hotchkiss, and then replaced by Father John, and they were both there the same day. And I had a confession with Father John. And Father John, after the confession, I said, hey, I have a question for you. And I started asking him biblical questions from the Bible, about things from the Bible.
Oh, they don't like that.
Noah's Ark type stuff, you know, because I was 11, you know. Do you know what he told me? He said, oh, that's all made up anyways. Don't worry about that.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, and that floored me because, you know, 11, I was going to Catholic school since second grade, you know. So for what, 6 years, 6 years, that's all we were pushed was, you know, God is good. God is everywhere. This and that. Believe the Bible. Read the Bible. And then all of a sudden, I got a priest telling me that it's all hooey.
Wow.
Now, from then on, I had the hardest time because my whole family was Catholic, you know. So, you know, and my mom actually always hated the fact that I didn't believe. And then I think she took great pride in knowing that just in the last few years, I don't know how many, but my faith grew. I started believing again, and it grew tenfold. More than that.
I didn't know that about you, man.
Yeah, now you do.
Let me tell you, I'm kind of the opposite. It's my faith that makes it very hard for me to do paranormal stuff. Very hard.
Really?
Yes.
Now,
I feel guilty doing investigations. I really
am. And I get that, but and let me tell you how I feel, and it might help. Because I know you're feeling guilty about the pleasures of paranormal investigating, right?
I don't know about the pleasures, just more the messing with stuff that the Bible tells me not to mess with.
Well, okay. To me, when people say, how can you do what you do and be a Christian when they tell you not to deal with dead people and not to talk to them and not to speak to the dead. And I say, you know, why do you believe in aliens and not this and that? And it's because God created all of that, including the aliens, including Alien. There are aliens. So he's still in charge of all that. So,
I mean, yeah, he's in charge of it. But how do you feel about when he says, like, you're not supposed to do necromancy, which is just talking to the dead? Now, he's pretty specific on that. That's very hard scripture for me to get past. And I've done it. You've obviously seen me investigate.
Well, yeah, but you
so guilty after I get done.
You didn't have the priest tell you about the Bible being false.
I've never come across
a priest. Ever since then, well, it was at St. Margaret Mary's School in Neenah, Wisconsin.
Shout out.
I'm giving you receipts. You know, I gave you the names.
Oh, dude, I'd believe it. Like, I would believe it 100%.
I mean,
I've met some people that are preachers or fathers or whatever that have no business doing it. They're just doing it for the money.
You know, they can, if the family hears this podcast, sorry, but he told me that. There's, you know, I don't know.
Like, did it instantly change your mind on things?
Instantly. Instantly. Well, could you imagine the person that is leading you in prayer for years?
Just tells you, hey, dude, I'm just feeding you fairy tales.
Pulls you aside and whispers in your ear, that was all bullshit. Don't believe that.
Do you think that was the start of your demonic oppression?
Very well could been.
This will tell you how crazy my brain is. I actually believe there's humans in this world that are not human. I truly believe that. I think they're just pure evil in a physical form. They're not like me and you. And when I say evil, I don't mean like Jeffrey Dahmer evil. I mean doing shit like what you're talking about, you know? Like, I truly believe there are people that aren't truly humans, but they're not aliens, JC. Just had to put that in there.
You like calling her out.
She's always accusing me of being an alien.
Well, I mean,
I get it.
If you were, you would constantly be telling people that you're not.
I mean, I understand that. I'm stuck. I don't know what to do. Rip my face off and show her the real me.
Maybe. So my question to you is, are you reptilian?
I might be. I don't know.
You might be.
I didn't know I was an alien until I got on TikTok.
Oh. Hmm.
All right, man, you ready for this?
Yep, let's hear it.
Prophets and predictions.
Prophets and predictions.
Yeah, I'm talking like Casey, Nostradamus, whoever that lady is. I can't think of her name right now. I think, again, going to get me hurt in the paranormal world. I think Nostradamus is full of shit.
Ooh, that's a bold statement.
None of his shit makes sense. The great lion of the east came upon the, I almost said little spoon.
Oh, I can't believe you brought that up.
I almost said the great lion of the east came upon the little spoon of the west. Like, none of his shit makes sense. Kind of the same for Casey. Like, Casey got a little more detailed. It wasn't quite as, whatever, I don't even know the word, poetic.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I absolutely cannot stand Nostradamus, and anybody, I should say anybody, I just can't stand Nostradamus. I don't think nothing he did was predictions.
I'm embarrassed to say I don't know a lot about him.
Consider yourself lucky.
Hmm.
I read his quatrains sometimes.
Of course, there's a lot of people that I do know a lot about that I wish I didn't.
Oh yeah. So you ain't got nothing to add on that one then, huh?
No, I got nothing to add on it.
Can see the future like that? I'm not talking a one-off event. I dreamt about a plane crashing into a mountain that came true. I'm talking about like the popular ones that have like predicted stuff for centuries ahead of their time.
Oh, are you talking about like the end of the world type of things?
All that. You know, like allegedly Nostradamus predicted World War II. He did predict the last pope, but
I think the biggest dilemma that I have and is I need, how do I put this? I think the Simpsons are the closest ones to predicting the future.
Look, the Simpsons is a little freaky.
They predict everything.
I will put them ahead of Nostradamus. And maybe they predict.
I mean, I don't know if I heard the creator's name, I would know it. I can't think of it right offhand.
Oh God, he's famous.
Yeah, but the creator of I am convinced that he's a time traveler.
I was about to say time traveler.
I'm convinced. There's no way.
It's weird.
That they could randomly. I've seen pictures recently taken that were compared to like 1998 Simpsons episode, and they're exactly alike down to what the people are wearing, like pictures of celebrities, the same celebrities, same clothes, the same jewelry. It's insane.
It's
freaking. I can't explain it.
You know what? I think we shouldn't get too detailed because that would make a great podcast episode, just The Simpsons.
The Simpsons, yeah.
Simpsons and their predictions.
It's freaky to think about. Like, how does he know?
You want to hear an episode on The Simpsons?
A paranormal watchtower episode, The Simpsons.
What? Call it Simps, so we don't get Simps trademark.
Well, we don't want to call it The Simps. We don't want to be Simps.
We'll call it The Simmons.
That's a whole different meaning, The Simps.
I apologize.
I mean, you know, I can't elaborate.
As much as you're into conspiracies and stuff, I can't believe you don't know a lot about Nostradamus.
I probably know his work, but I don't know him by name too much.
Oh, man, go read it. It's amazingly stupid.
Well, Confucius say.
Confucius says.
Man who runs behind car gets exhausted. No, you didn't like that one?
Oh, I love that one. I was trying not to laugh.
That's like older than dirt.
I'm not even making old man comments at you today.
That's because you already done. Yeah, it's okay if you do. I don't mind. What am I, like 10 minutes older than you?
A couple years.
Oh, I don't think so.
Oh, I know so. All right, you ready for the last one?
Yeah, let's do it.
Last one, ladies and gentlemen. And this is entitled, take it as you will, but things I won't do.
Things I won't do.
Things I won't do, which includes Ouija board, mirror scrying, seance. Am I missing one?
No, keep going. I'm just put a finger down if.
Oh, put a finger down if you've done it.
Yeah.
That's probably about it.
That's it? That's the only three things you won't do?
We'll not touch those things. And it's because of my own superstitions. I love to watch people that do it. You can ask Brandon.
Yep, he watched me do it.
Seance. I watched him do a Ouija board.
Yep, you watched me do a Ouija board. You watched me do a seance. What else did you do? What was the third one?
The scrying mirror. I haven't seen you do that.
Oh, you didn't see me do a scrying mirror, but I've...
And the writing. The ghost writing. No, I'll never do that.
See, the ghostwriting, you got to be talented for that. That's a gift. That's a gift to be able to do that. Yes.
Well, either way, I'm not ever going to try that.
Well, that depends. Now, if you're talking about spiritual, like Ouija board type of writing, spiritual writing.
Right.
Like where they put the pencil on the planchette and move it like that.
I'm talking about more where the pencil's in your hand and it's just writing out messages.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's definitely, you need a gift. That's a gift to be able to do sure.
I'm not sure if I have the gift or not. I'm never going to find out. Not even a little curious to find out.
Cindy Kaza does that and she does it well.
That is freaky.
Yes. She actually will draw out what is attached to you. Like if you have something dark around you, she can draw it.
Has she been on TV?
And she'll give you the picture. Yeah, she's.
So that sounds very familiar.
I think she recently took over on, what was it, Paranormal State? No. Oh, she took over for Amy. Amy. Oh, what's Amy's last name?
The psychic lady?
Yeah.
She's with that Dustin kid or whatever.
All right. Your talking is making me more confused with other shows.
That's what I try to do.
There's too goddamn many shows to keep track of. But anyway, yeah, Cindy was super nice and just very talented. But everybody knows she is one of those that's known for real stuff. Like everybody, I've never met anybody who doesn't believe what she says.
And look, the reason why I won't do it is, to me, that's a little too personal. I don't want to let the spirit borrow my energy. You will never hear me on a live say, you can use my energy. Hell no.
No, no. That
Keep
is a big
hands
no-no.
Off me.
That is a
that's
big
why
no-no.
I won't do those things. It's not only just because the Bible, whatever, it's my own superstitions that you're really playing with fire then, especially if you don't know what the hell you're doing. And
well, I've been witness people say, oh, use my energy, come in and use my energy to all do this time. And that. And then the second I say, hey, be careful when you do that. What do you always get? You get some jackass who is a moderator in the live thinking they know something. And they're coming at you with, they know what they're doing. I'm like, bitch, obviously they don't. Sorry.
Beep. I was a little late on that censor button.
Sorry. That is incorrect.
It's the truth. It is the truth. And it's like you're trying to just be a nice person and be like, hey, you don't know what you're doing. Be careful. And they're like, oh.
No. And especially when you're just trying to help, you know, just trying to tell somebody, hey, chill out a little bit, relax, think about what you're saying. Because in this field, every word you say has meaning behind it. And your thought and your intent come into play every single time.
And I believe intent plays such a huge role in it.
You gotta remember that. You have to remember that. That is crucial in not only being a good investigation, but your own safety and your own well-being. You need to understand that. I can't stress that enough.
I agree wholeheartedly.
But that just comes... Maybe I'm just an old cranky bastard who's been in it too long.
Get off my lawn.
I don't know.
Hey, man, I'm glad that most of the shit I learned came from you because it keeps me from doing idiotic stuff. I mean, I still do idiotic stuff, just not in the paranormal field.
Well, I can... I like to say I did something, but, you know... can only do so much. Some people just refuse to listen, and they.
The only thing I won't listen to you about is Ouija boards, scrying mirrors.
Yes, you know, it's okay to be.
It's no different than doing a spirit portal.
Yeah,
but I'm not allowing the spirit to use me to do that. At that point, is how I see it. I could be wrong, and it's just my brain. But
no, you're actually doing the right thing. You're doing the right thing. Because just your fear alone, you're a fear, and I'm using the word fear because I don't have another word.
That's what.
But your fear of the Ouija board and your fear of the scrying mirrors is what's keeping you safe.
Heck yeah, you hear that?
It is what's keeping you from opening yourself up to something that you have no business doing.
Yeah, and parts of those things.
I say that because your fear alone, any fear, you should not do anything paranormal if there's fear behind it, because that takes away all your protection. All your protection is wiped away when you're scared of it.
I can definitely agree with that. And you can tell too on an investigation when you start getting nervous, things start amping up. It's like it's feeding off of what you're doing. If I go in with a couple people and we're joking, having a good time, I can almost guarantee you we're not going to get any type of evidence that night.
Oh, I could go on for this hours
is from
on
my
that
experience, y'all.
Topic.
Save
but,
it for another podcast.
I'm a firm believer in everyone in the situation. And I know it's an unpopular opinion, but I'm going to say it anyways. Ready? When you investigate with certain people, it doesn't even matter. Any people, when you investigate with any people, your energy mixes with their energy. I don't care if you can't just sit back and be like, well, I'm going to do my thing and you're going to do your thing and we're both going to be cool. That's not how it works. Your energy is in that room. Their energy is in that room. Spirit energy is in that room. It's all one environment. So if you have certain people that shouldn't be there, they're going to draw in spirits that shouldn't be there. So you have to keep in mind who you're working with at all times and who, that's why I pick and choose who I investigate with.
That makes sense. That makes perfect sense.
So, and I think people are too willy-nilly with their, you know, collabs these days. They'll just collab with anybody. And I'm like, you're not thinking this through.
Yeah, I call those hangouts. That's not investigating.
Oh, I'm not going to say any more about that. You get what I'm getting at here.
Oh, I completely understand.
Yeah, so.
All right, man.
So, does that wrap it up?
Yep, episode all right. 10. Well, I don't know what we're going to call episode 10. There's no rules this time.
We'll find out when it's posted up. So, episode 10, let us know what you guys think about that. Don't forget that you need to share it out and tell the people that you share it to let us know who shared it to them, and you could win something cool.
Really?
From Brandon and Ray, Paranormal Watchtower. See ya.
Don't forget, demons don't hide in abandoned buildings. Now we can peace out.
See ya.